We are going to study once again about Moses' faith today. This is the fifth message concerning Moses' faith. I'm sure that Brother George has found out that we have not made much progress since he left. And a few more verses, I think, we passed. We have been able to study. Sometimes we may be wondering why we need to study the scriptures so much in depth, and why we need to keep looking back by studying the Old Testament so much. Because basically, as we have been studying about the faith based on Hebrews chapter 11, we have been studying about the Old Testament characters and Old Testament biblical records and events, especially but the book of Genesis and book of Exodus. I think there are a couple of reasons we can think about why we need to study so much in depth from the scriptures and why we need to return to the Old Testament to study it. First of all, the reason that we need to study on and on by careful biblical exegesis is because there is nothing but one truth we must know and remember. For example, Moses' faith was very great. However, what we need to know about his faith is that his faith, many, many years ago, his faith is exactly the same precious faith we have today. We are not talking about two different kinds of faith. As far as the object of faith is concerned, Moses' object of faith was Christ, and our object of faith is Christ. We have the same object of faith. Thus, understanding our forefathers' faith also helps us to understand the faith in the Bible we must have. It also implies that our faith is a historical faith. It has been revealed and exercised by people since the time of creation. And generation after generation, this same faith has been demonstrated by different people living in different age or different eras. It also implies that whatever records or truth we have in the scriptures about them are for our edification and for our encouragement. They are not irrelevant stories or irrelevant events. Actually, they are closely related to us today. It is because we have the same faith. We need to remember what Apostle Peter has to say in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we are talking about biblical faith, we are talking about exactly the same and the precious faith. By knowing Moses' faith, we do not learn just about his faith, but in fact about our own faith. Secondly, the Old Testament study is as much important as the New Testament study. It is wrong to neglect or despise the Old Testament as if the Old Testament is obsolete and we do not need it. That is a wrong idea. It is obviously both Old Testament and the New Testament are God's inspired word, and both books, both Testaments are the people of God, the children of God. We may need to be reminded of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. From that verse, having said about Israelites' journey in the wilderness for 40 years, he said, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So those biblical records are for our admonition and for our benefits. He speaks about the Old Testament events and truths, and also says that all of them are for the benefits of his readers about 1500 years later, who are the New Testament saints. It is not the first time he indicates about the importance of the scriptures in that way, both the Old and New Testaments. In fact, he says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Somehow, some believers do not pay enough attention to the Old Testament, by concentrating on the New Testament alone. And they are even talking about discontinuity of the Old Testament for the New Testament saints. However, we must know both and we must understand both. Let me return to the text we are going to study today. In fact, I was trying to figure out how to make a message out of this particular passage. Then I must say that, you know, I have not been able to deal all things that I should have dealt with from that particular verse. So it may be very possible that some months later or a couple of years later, I may come back to this particular verse to talk about more from this verse. For the last 4 weeks so far, we have been studying about Moses' faith, and today, again, we will learn more about Moses' faith. However, there is a major difference between the previous teachings from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 27, and today's lesson from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. The previous four verses are talking about his faith in terms of his preparations for the major event, which was Exodus. He was prepared. He was ready. He had to prepare himself for that one big event, the Exodus. And now chapter 11, verse 28, the verse speaks about Moses' faith as the leader of the children of Israel. Finally, his faith is being eventuated here. We also need to know that there is a kind of missing link from those two stages of faith, previous four verses and verse 28. The first four verses talk about necessary preparations on Moses' part by faith, while verse 28 talks about his role as a leader by faith. Finally, he became a leader of his brethren, and they became a part of his faith exercises. In between those two stages of his faith, there was a famous event of burning bush. From the Midian desert back to Egypt, Moses returned. It was because God called him to do so, and God commanded him to return to Egypt. Moses' faith in God's deliverance of his people was finally confirmed by the revelation of God given in Exodus chapter 3. It is an amazing story, personally and I think nationally, to the children of Israel. This particular event, or this particular point of consideration, implies at least two things. One, God is behind every event in history at large and in our lives personally. Not to mention, or no mention of his name or his supernatural events does not mean that he was not and is not and will not be in some events in history and our lives. In fact, if you read chapter 11, verse 28 very carefully, you cannot find any mention of God. In fact, if you read verse 28, it says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So as if Exodus was an outcome of his faith, as if he was able to perform all those things simply by faith. But there is one thing that is not mentioned in this particular verse, behind the scenes. In fact, behind the scenes, there was a real character who enabled him to be able to do all those things. That is obviously God. Here, God is not mentioned. Thus, we may say, wow, Moses is a great man. He must be a powerful person. Lord, make me like Moses, as if we will do a lot of amazing things so that we may be pleased with ourselves. But in fact, that is not true. Behind the scenes, there was God. In fact, one of the examples is the book of Esther. In fact, if you read the book of Esther, you cannot find the name of God there. God's name is not found in that particular book. However, we know that it was God who worked behind the scenes throughout that book. Likewise, God is with us, though we do not see him. I hope that you will never forget that. Though Hebrews chapter 11 talks about men and women of faith, the main character behind the faith stories is always God himself. 2, the faithful have always the right perspectives. Through faith, they were able to manifest the glory of God. We need to be reminded once again of the teachings from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It is always God who takes the glory through our faith. The reason that we need faith is not to perform great miracles or wonderful events or spectacular experiences and so on. The primary reason that we need to have faith is because that is the way that we can please God. Faith, whenever we are talking about faith, events must not go first, or events should not take the first place in the faith stories. There has to be always God's story first on the priority list. I hope and pray that we do not study about these faith stories as great men and great women's achievements only. If I say about one more reason why we need to study about Moses' faith again and again, it's because it is very possible that we have not learned from his faith yet. You know, we have been studying four verses concerning Moses' faith so far. Have we chosen rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season? Have we esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt? Have we forsaken everything because we have respect unto the recompense of the heavenly reward? If we have not done all those things, actually we are not doers of God's word, we are simply hearers of God's word. So rather than we say, my goodness, there is another set of messages concerning Moses' faith, I think there is something that we need to think about ourselves. Have we learned something from Moses' faith from the previous verses, and our lives have been changed or not? Otherwise, today, I may give you some more information about Moses' faith or faith in general, but still we are going to add some more knowledge to our head. But we may not be better people, or we may not be able to have even better faith or better relationship with the Lord. Thus, let us study about Moses' faith once again, and hopefully we'll be able to be the doers of God's word. First of all, Moses' faith had to be nurtured. Faith has to be nurtured. That is surprising to a lot of people. There are lots of mysteries surrounding faith. We often say that we feel that we do not have much faith, or enough faith, or too little faith. Or we say that we may not have even faith at all. Especially when we are in trials and cannot comprehend why we are going through a certain incomprehensible series of events that put us into the corners and cause us to be despair, even though we believe in God. I have not seen people who told me that they had lots of faith, too much of faith. I have heard from different individuals saying that their faith was too little, they did not have enough faith, and so on. But in fact, I have not met anybody who told me that he or she had too much faith and he was concerned. From such common and average believers' eyes, Moses' faith seems to be very, very mysterious and too high to reach or to imitate. We may sigh as a result, and we may be discouraged because we sense that there is no way for us to reach the level of Moses' faith. Here I must say a few things about faith, especially about the necessity of our faith to be nurtured. First of all, we must understand that Moses' faith was really, really nurtured by God Himself. It is not a strange idea at all. In fact, for him, it took more than, 40 years? Some people have an idea that everything must be perfect when we become Christians. Some people may say that our way of life, conducts, and characters must grow because it is the way that we attain to our sanctifications. However, when we come down to the issue of faith, they tend to think that faith must be in perfect state by all means. Thus, if they have a bit of hesitance in doing something, they feel that they are lack of faith or even no faith whatsoever. As a result, they tend to be discouraged even while they are in the ministries of God. However, such notion needs to be examined and re-evaluated. One day, Jesus taught his disciples about the dangers of offending brothers. He also said that if others had offended them, they should be willing to forgive those people. If a same person offends us but comes back with repentance, we are to forgive that person. Even when he repeats 7 times in a day, Jesus says that we are responsible to forgive him. Then the disciples said in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, second half of the verse, the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. They felt that it was a really difficult matter. So apart from a stronger faith or strong faith, a perfect, more mature faith, they could not possibly do it. Then Jesus replied to them in verse 6 in Luke chapter 17. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. This verse is very interesting. From this conversation, we may find 3 very interesting truths about the faith that is required to be nurtured. Number one, Jesus quantified faith by describing faith as a grain of mustard seed. He wanted to point it out that the faith can be a size of a mustard, grain of the mustard seed. He draw a mental picture in the minds of his own disciples about the size of their faith. If you have seen a grain of mustard seed, you must have known that it is a really little and very, very tiny small seed. Matthew chapter 13 verses 31 to 32 say this. Matthew 13:31. Another parable put he forth unto them, so it is a part of his parables about the kingdom of God. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed. So here, exactly the same thing is mentioned. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in this field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. Least of all seeds. Here, you can compare the sizes of many different seeds. And in fact, a grain of mustard seed is very, very tiny. So it is being described as the least of all seeds. But, verse 32, when it is grown, here is the beauty of it. When it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. In other words, the essence of this particular teaching concerning the kingdom of heaven in this passage is that even though kingdom of heaven is like a small seed, a grain of mustard seed, it will grow like a huge tree. That is the precise point. Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, second half of the verse, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. We must notice that the mustard seed is used as a symbol of growth by contrasting its original size with the size it will eventually grow to. In other words, the faith we have may not be in the perfect and mature stage yet. It means that there is a faith such as little faith or great faith. And faith has a room to grow or to be nurtured. Secondly, it leads us to consider our next point. Faith can be increased and faith can grow, in fact. The apostles of Jesus wished to have more faith. Thus, they requested to the Lord to increase their faith. Therefore, I would encourage all of you who may be wondering or doubting about your faith to ask the Lord to increase your faith And in fact, there is a room to grow. Thirdly, the reason that our faith needs nurturing is because faith is related to every aspect of our beings, from spiritual life to social life. Faith is necessary for us to fellowship with God. Without faith, it is not possible for us to be able to please our God. However, faith works for more than our spiritual life in terms of the work of God. What the apostles of Jesus Christ wanted to have was the power to be able to forgive even a person who repeats the same sin 7 times a day after repentance each time. To their minds, such a spirit of forgiveness required more or increased faith. So faith is not just related to our spiritual life in terms of our fellowship with God, but faith actually is related to every part of our life experiences. In other words, faith builds us up as the men and women of God. At the same time, faith enables us to be men and women of righteous characters. Because all of us are weak and fallible, our faith needs to be nurtured for us to grow even more as the men and women of God. Likewise, Moses' faith had to be nurtured, even though he had already been a man of faith, as we have seen from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. It must be a teaching for all of church leaders or future leaders in the church. There is no leader who is not required of preparations and readiness. We expect physicians to be well-trained and prepared for their practices. Likewise, church leaders are expected to be nurtured and trained. There is no one who does not have to have ongoing training and preparations for the leadership roles and leadership work in Christian churches. These preparations include systematic learning from the scriptures, consistent prayer life, and disciplined and committed life to the Lord's service, especially in sanctifying the day of the Lord, giving due offerings to the Lord, helping the needy, and being examples to other believers. So, faith needs to be nurtured. Secondly, faith nurturing may take its procedures in various forms, such as hardships, uncertain future, confused circumstances, both internal and external oppositions, unfulfilled desires, or even seeming contradictions in God's work. I want you to know that the Lord did not use Moses as soon as he was willing. The Lord did not use him simply because he felt that he was ready. The Lord did not use him simply because he was determined to do something for the Lord by forsaking everything. The Lord did not use him immediately simply because he made a determination or decision to serve God. Moses killed an Egyptian, and he thought that his people might understand him, why he killed an Egyptian man. But the amazing thing is that they did neither accept him nor acknowledge him as their leader for Exodus. The Lord took 40 years from that time onward until he called Moses for one of the greatest events, if not the greatest, in the biblical history. We must pay attention to the fact that the 40 years in the desert life was necessary for Moses' training. The Lord said to him in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." That's what Moses wanted to do 40 years ago. And finally, 40 years later, the Lord is calling him to do this work. The Lord spoke to him about the coming Exodus in this verse. Then Moses responded to this calling in verse 11. This is an incredible response in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. "And Moses said unto him, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" This answer is a quite interesting answer. It is because, in fact, he was the one 40 years ago who was willing to even kill the Egyptians, and hopefully he wanted to be recognized by his own people, so that finally the covenant God made, the promise God gave to the children of Israel, the deliverance from the bondage of the Egyptians. He wanted to fulfill it 40 years ago. But here in this verse, he said, who am I? Why should I go there? And how come the people will be able to get out of the land of Egypt because of me and by me and through me? This answer shows us his changed attitude of himself and through the work of God from his previous ways of thinking shown 40 years ago. Surely he's able to show his humility in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. 40 years of time changed him so much, and finally he became dependent on God completely and totally. The Lord could have used him 40 years ago, young, probably from our perspectives, he was much younger. He was very much energetic, and he was very zealous, and he was enthusiastic in serving the Lord, even by killing an Egyptian man 40 years ago, and he was only 40 years old. However, Moses needed to be trained and remolded and nurtured in the desert for 40 years. Since Moses returned to Egypt, 10 plagues were followed in the land of Egypt. The Lord instructed Moses concerning the plagues one by one, and the purpose of the plagues was to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, and at the same time, it was to punish the Egyptians. However, when Moses followed the Lord's instructions, the Pharaoh hardened his heart, which caused the children of Israel to suffer even more. That really frustrated Moses, because it was God who called him to go back to Egypt from the Midian desert. An initial response that Moses showed was that, who am I? Why should I go? I am not able to do it. But God said, go, and I will give you enough ability. And here are the ways that you can demonstrate the power that you may have through me. That's what God said. So he showed everything, and he delivered the message that God told him to deliver Pharaoh. However, what was the outcome? Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The lives of the children of Israel became even more difficult than ever more. It frustrated him. God, you told me to go. God, I just spoke to Pharaoh what you told me to speak to him. And what's wrong with me? Or what's wrong with my message? Or what's wrong with my ministry? After all, I have done everything that you had told me to do. But result, outcome, is so terrible. Listen to Moses from Exodus chapter 5, verse 22. Exodus 5:22 says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Frustration. You know, once in a while, even though we are in the perfect will of God, there is a moment of frustrations at times. There are hiccups. There are bumps here and there. Sometimes we say, just, I don't understand why God does what he's doing. That's exactly what has happened in his life. Every one of these situations was a trial to his faith. Every one of these challenges was a frustration to his faith. And in fact, what he was experiencing was almost like a contradiction to what God had told him. However, the divine Lord took time and molded his faith, so that Moses was finally able to learn to lean on him completely without any reservation. I must say that you will have a lot of opportunities to be tried if you are a man of God, if you are a woman of God. You may say, I have faith in God. Then why is my faith so severely challenged, and why God is dealing with me so harshly? Why does God not hear my voices and answer to my prayers and answer to my faith? Well, James speaks about the matter in particular. James chapter 1 verse 3, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. As if James was expecting that all believers are going to experience some sort of trials. Trying of your faith also means the testing of your faith. I think some time ago I told you something like this. Probably you have been praying for bigger faith. And I'm sure that if you want to have a bigger faith and stronger faith and greater faith, God will give it to you. But you are going to get it through greater challenges. God is going to give you opportunities in which you will grow into greater faith. So the greater faith means greater challenges, and there will be greater tests. Primary school exams cannot be compared with the university exams. I'm not sure in the UK for PhD programs if you have to take a comprehensive exam. But in the States, for PhD programs, usually at the end of the course, you are supposed to pass comprehensive exam first in order to be able to submit your proposal for your dissertation. Well, that comprehensive exam is really a challenge. You cannot compare the quality or difficulty of the test with the nursery school test. Likewise, would you like to become a person of greater faith? Pray for it. The Lord will give you opportunities to obtain it. Well, you will experience lots of opportunities that your faith is tried or tested. However, such tests are necessary for God's people. James says in chapter 1, verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Our faith is required to be nurtured. Thus, if anyone is believing in God for instant gratification, he must know that he needs to be nurtured and to be ready. Secondly, faith needs to be activated. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, once again, says, "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." Well, verse 28 has lots of important lessons we need to learn. Through faith, verse begins with, through faith, it is the same as by faith. The act that Moses did by faith when he was called to lead the children of Israel was to keep the Passover. Well, first of all, in order to know the meaning of it, we probably need to study about Passover. He kept the Passover. Through his observance of the Passover, he was able to express his faith, according to this verse. The Passover was an event which has been continually remembered and celebrated by the Feast of Passover. Numbers chapter 9, verse 10 says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord." Passover. Well, Luke chapter 22, verse 1 says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." So Passover is a feast or a festival. Second, keeping the Passover is also an indication that Moses acknowledged the Lord's sovereignty by faith. It is because the Passover is the Lord's, is to be the Lord's. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11 says, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." It's the Lord's. Thus, whenever the Jewish people do observe, remember, celebrate the Passover, they do recognize the sovereign power and sovereign authority of God over them. Third, keeping the Passover, it's interesting, the keeping the Passover was also an expression of faith in God's redemption. It is a bit delicate part of our studies about Passover. We may find a very unusual expression about the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Exodus chapter 12, verse 21 says this, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families." Then he says, "And kill the Passover." We studied just only a minute ago that Passover was an event. It was a feast. But according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 21, the Passover was something that was supposed to be killed. We are talking about the lamb. Here the Passover is not a feast anymore, but the object that had to be killed. It means that this Passover had life in it, but had to give it up through an act of killing. More directly, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 12. Would you like to turn your scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 2? Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 2. Let's read the verse. "Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, and the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there." Amen. Well, here Moses said that the Passover was to be sacrificed. On the day of Passover, each household was supposed to sacrifice a lamb according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Then this lamb was to be killed on the day of Passover. Then we may say that this sacrificial lamb was also called a Passover that was killed. Then Second Chronicles chapter 30, verse 18 makes a perfect sense, as it says, "For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover. Otherwise then it was written, but Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, The good Lord pardon everyone." The Passover was killed, and the Passover was eaten by the children of Israel. Then the Passover was the lamb sacrificed and eaten. Thus, if we put all these different thoughts about the Passover, then we may say that it was an event for which a sacrifice was killed for the sake of the benefits of the children of Israel, and this Passover was the Lord's. Then we need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Because it has a finer saying about the Passover from Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Let's read it. "Purge out therefore the old leaven." Amen. So in this verse, Christ is being described and explained as the Passover. Then I must say that Moses' faith must have been deeply rooted in Christ and his sacrifice. The Passover is Christ. I believe that such deep spiritual root was necessary for the caliber of his work. He was to lead a nation from Egypt to a series of deserts. Through his preparatory time, he had to constantly exercise his faith in God. It is because man is not reliable, but God is faithful. When Moses went back to the children of Israel, and Aaron spoke to them as Moses' spokesman, and performed the signs as God had shown them before, people were touched and very much moved. So Exodus chapter 4, verses 30 and 31 says, "And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that He had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped." However, when Pharaoh refused to bow down to Moses' demand and increased the workload upon their shoulders, their immediate reason or reaction or response was very different. This is, I think, it shows the nature of human heart. In one stage, they were very thankful. You know, the Lord visited with us, and the Lord is going to deliver us. And the Lord, we need you. We are under afflictions. We are suffering so much. Please help me. You know, usually that is the way that we respond to our challenges in life. Please, Lord, answer to my prayers. We are so desperate, we become suddenly spiritual and religious, and we are very serious about our personal relationship with the Lord. It is because we have problems. And so, Lord, please help us, and so on. And those people, the children of Israel, listened to the message through Aaron, and they were able to see the signs and miraculous events performed before their eyes. They thanked the Lord, and they believed, the scripture says, and they bowed down and they worshipped. However, when workload was added because Pharaoh was upset and he was angry, then Exodus chapter 5, verse 21 says this, "And they said unto them," they are the children of Israel, that the children of Israel spoke to Moses and Aaron. This is what they said, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." Their attitude was 180 degrees turned around. Man can turn his face away from us at any time. Psalm 62, verses 7 to 9 says this, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." And so that's what the children of Israel. We are talking about children of Israel, God's people, the covenanter people, the people of God, the nation of God. If Moses' faith had not been deeply rooted in God, the master of the Passover, who provided a way of redemption for his people, Moses would have not survived the attacks of man. Probably he's just a heartbroken man. He became a heartbroken man, and he could not continue his ministry. His task constantly required him to exercise his faith. It must be applicable to all of us. Do not be discouraged or tempted to fall away from the calling of the Lord. Exercise your faith. Faith needs to be activated in our living. Lastly, faith was applied and benefited. Let me read Hebrews 11:28 once again. "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them." The two crucial elements of the Passover are the application of the blood and the separation from the outside. I also believe that it is related to the progress of faith. Moses has done so much already up until this point of time. He has done remarkable things only by faith and through faith. However, when he moves one step forward and upward by faith, there is another step waiting for him, as if there is never ending of the course of faith or journey of faith. By now, we may feel that all the preparations Moses needed was over, but there was one more important thing to be done. It was the Passover. It must be a lesson to all of us who desire to live by faith. There is no point of time we can say, we have lived by faith so far, and enough is enough. There is no such a thing. Instead, we must move on to another step forward. It means that there is always a room for us to grow in faith. There is no person who does not need to grow in faith. It also means that until we get to heaven, we will continually struggle in order to live by faith. We may conquer one enemy by faith, and we may enjoy our time of peace for a while, but we have to remember that the next enemy is waiting for us for challenges. We may stay in different levels of maturity of faith, but without exception, we will have our own issues to deal with by faith. Especially when it comes down to the practice of faith, we have to be, all of us will have to be, the students of faith. There is no one who does not need to learn more of faith. Moses never ran out of opportunities to learn more about faith, to apply more of his faith to the challenges or to his everyday life. Besides, the Lord never allows us to suffer with trials that we cannot bear with our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 28 is a lesson from Exodus chapter 12 verses 3 to 12. And maybe this is a part of my ending last point, so maybe we are going to read it together. Exodus chapter 12 verses 3 to 12. Let us read it together. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and in the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it and in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13 says, And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. We must see a simple fact that Moses kept the Passover by faith. It means that he believed in God's promises truly and sincerely. It also indicates that Moses believed in God's redemption of his own people on that very night. If faith is understood, studied, discussed and scrutinized, but not applied, it becomes a dead faith. We have heard about faith so much. We have thought about faith so much. We have been reading a lot of reading materials about faith. But until we apply this faith to various challenges in our lives, our faith is still a dead faith. Moses believed what God had said about the Passover, and he applied his faith to the life situation here. There was no visible and reasonable ground to believe in the Passover on that very night. He was staying with the children of Israel who were a bunch of doubters of God's promises, God's promise-keeping grace. The danger was apparent to the children of Israel, and they knew that the Pharaoh was not in their favor. They did not know how he would react to the death of his eldest son on that night, just in case, if it was going to happen. In that dramatic night, the Lord told Moses to speak to them about the Passover. All they had to do was to apply the blood on their door side, up and both sides. This seemingly meaningless ritual was not despised, but it was kept by faith. If we judge the matter only by human logic, following such instruction appears to be foolish. How would Moses know that every Egyptian household was going to lose the eldest child in that particular night? How could he expect that this incident was the last one by which the Pharaoh would finally give up any hope to keep the children of Israel? The blood was applied to every Hebrew home that night, and amazingly, death passed them over. While the Egyptians did not escape from the danger of death, there was a great cry in Egypt, according to Exodus 12, verse 30. The blood was the sign of life to the children of Israel, but that blood was the sign of death to the children of the Egyptians. To them, the blood was only a sign of the coming death. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 is a final seal on this teaching on the Passover. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Our faith rests on the blood of Jesus. Our faith does not rest on our trying events, spectacular, extraordinary signs and wonders. No. Our faith rests on the blood of Jesus. The blood was a sign for the deliverances to the Hebrews during the crucial night. When there was blood, there was a deliverance. By faith, when the blood was applied, every Hebrew household was delivered from the sorrows of death. Likewise, Romans chapter 5, verse 9 says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Faith needs to be applied, then it will benefit us. Well, today, we have studied about three more aspects of Moses' faith, and next week, we are not going to return to Moses' faith, but faith of the people of Israel in the slightly different aspect of faith. However, let us remember one thing. Faith needs to be nurtured. That's why we need to learn. Faith requires the contents, what we believe. The contents comes from the truth of God, God's revelation. God wants us to know them. God wants us to understand them, believe them, and apply them. Thus, faith needs to be nurtured, and faith needs to be activated. I'm sure that you will go through a lot of and various kinds of circumstances and events in your life. Sometimes you feel that God is not very fair. God is very unfair. But sometimes you may feel that God is not there with you in times of your griefs and sadnesses. Remember, faith needs to be activated, and faith needs to be applied. It is my prayer that all of us will be proven to be the men and women of faith that please the Lord. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.